At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. Trump may be indicted as early as tomorrow for violations of the Espionage Act, specifically 18 U.S. Code 793, gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. It is that part of the act that does not require the actual documents in question to be classified. A deliberate choice by Special Counsel Jack Smith, if correct, a strategic one, which would thus completely erase Trump's defense that whatever he stole, he had somehow already declassified it by blinking three times in succession or throwing ketchup at one particular White House wall. Those guilty of violations of 18 U.S. Code 793, quote, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and the independent counsel's grand jury will be asked to vote an indictment against Trump for violating 793 as early as tomorrow. With the caveat from the Britain newspaper The Independent, who scooped this, is that, quote, that vote could be delayed as much as a week until the next meeting of the grand jury to allow for a complete presentation of evidence or to allow investigators to gather more evidence for presentation if necessary, unquote. The Independent report emphasizes that an indictment on one charge from 18 U.S. Code 793 is far from all of it that Trump faces from the grand juries, that Trump may also still be indicted on other counts within the Espionage Act umbrella and potentially for obstruction of justice, and that Jack Smith's mysterious Florida grand jury is still operating and further indictments could emanate from there. The Washington Post, in fact, is reporting today that the bulk of indictments could come from the Miami grand jury, not the one in Washington, which could give us a scenario in which there is one indictment out of Washington tomorrow or next week, but many more from Florida in the weeks to come. The Independent's White House correspondent Andrew Feinberg adds that Mark Meadows did flip. So, told you so. Quote, it is understood that the former North Carolina congressman testified as part of a deal for which he has already received limited immunity in exchange for his testimony. A source who was briefed on the agreement claimed that the alleged agreement will involve the ex-chief of staff entering pleas of guilty to unspecified federal crimes. The Independent says Meadows' attorney, George Terwilliger, said the guilty plea story is, quote, complete bullshit, unquote, but that attorney Terwilliger would not answer any questions about immunity or testimony and Meadows. As to Trump, it was his lapdog, John Solomon, who published a piece today claiming federal prosecutors had just notified Trump that he was a target of their investigation and that an indictment in the documents case was imminent. Trump then posted to social media, quote, "No one has told me I'm being indicted, and I shouldn't be. I've done nothing wrong, but I have assumed for years that I am a target of the blah, 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 blah," which I read as a yes. The New York Times got to Trump and asked him if he had been told he would be indicted, and he said it was, quote, "not true," but he would not answer MAGA Haberman when she asked whether he'd been told he was a target, and then he insisted he is not in direct touch with prosecutors, and again insisted, "anything wrong." We know for a fact that Trump spokesman and apologist Taylor Butowich testified to the Miami grand jury today and then issued a kvetchy tweet about persecution and Biden and the usual stuff you have to say to keep getting a Trump paycheck. The Times reports Butowich may have been asked about a particular statement that Trump allegedly had his staff, people like Butowich, a spokesman, draft after the National Archives had gotten back 15 boxes of material from Trump in January 2022. In the draft, it said Trump said he had returned all the presidential material he had. That was in the draft. The actual Trump statement of January 2022 did not claim he had returned all the presidential material he had. Prosecutors seem to be fascinated by the email chain within Trump world about that January 2022 draft statement. And just to guess here, there could be some extraordinary admissions in that email chain, like, "what the hell, we didn't return everything," or something similar that would go directly to obstruction of justice indictments. So this is what we have to this hour, and I will obviously have more in a full countdown podcast tomorrow and Thursday. But since I had already written my analysis for tomorrow's pod about the firing of Chris Licht by CNN, and make no mistake, he was fired deep inside Central Park, like near my house, at the crack of dawn. I'm not making any of these details up. Since I had already written that, let me give you that one. Tomorrow's version will no doubt include the latest on the other big media story, Fox threatening to sue Tucker Carlson over that crapola Twitter 10-minute video that Carlson posted Tuesday night. The people doing the suing here should be Tucker Carlson's fans. Because in sum, Chuck Todd fired, Chris Licht fired, Tucker Carlson sued, Donald Trump reportedly to be indicted tomorrow. Happy days are here again. That's next. This is Countdown.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snark, some predictions. Dateline CNN headquarters, Hudson Yards, New York. Last licks, CNN cans Chris. If you hear anywhere that Chris Licht left CNN, don't believe it. He was fired. Even the New York Times says he was fired. 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, offed by Warner Bros. Discovery boss David Zaslav in the middle of a walk through Central Park near my house, which explains all the smoke we got here during the day. Times also says two CNN anchors recently gave Licht votes of no confidence, Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapper. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, but bluntly, I never thought Chris Licht was a good choice to run CNN. Just between you and me. Okay, enough with the self-abnegating disingenuousness. I first mentioned Chris Licht here on August 19th of last year, the 15th episode, and this is episode 222. Because as I suggested, if they had conducted a nationwide search for the worst person to run CNN, and they found him or her, and they were about to introduce that person to the world and then said, oh wait, we forgot Chris Licht, they would have switched to Licht at the last minute because he would have been worse. And he was. So it was assumed that my reaction to this would be glee, or at least relief. And as a CNN alum who had his first job interview there before they signed it on in 1980, and who worked there from years 2 through 5 in sports and years 22 and 23 in news, I guess I am relieved, because the first of my points from the beginning was, yes, Licht was at MSNBC when I was, and I also dealt with him briefly on Colbert, and he was an absolutely irredeemable bastard. And worst yet, I've worked with a lot of those. He was an absolutely irredeemable, unqualified bastard. And I'm going to rerun my comment from August 19th of last year just to give you a real-time flavor of my experiences and predictions. I'll run that later. But my second and more important point was that Chris Licht should never have been hired in the first place by CNN, because he was not only pursuing a white whale, he was pursuing a white whale that clearly does not exist. And everybody else in his industry knows it does not exist. Chris Licht was fired, at least he was fired yesterday, because of that magazine piece in The Atlantic, and to a lesser degree because of the Titanic-like bad publicity of the Trump town hall. He was fired because he made the company look bad and got it bad publicity. If you have any doubt of that, please note that two of the other three people offed by CNN were CNN's communications chief and its publicist, who infamously directed a screeching Twitter screed against Jennifer Rubin of The Washington Post in defense of the town hall. They were fired, and Licht was fired, and they were all fired only because of bad publicity that reflected badly on Licht's bosses. The point is that Chris Licht believed 2 plus 2 equals 5. His bosses may still believe that. It turned out it does not equal 5. I am confident that Licht will spend the rest of his life believing that it does equal 5, and that he just somehow failed to convince everybody else of that, or didn't use the right graphics. It may still exist somewhere in other media. It may be like those periodic reports over the last century that there really still is a passenger pigeon somewhere out there, and the species has not been extinct since the year 1914. But there is no middle in American cable news, and the pursuit of that middle was doomed from the beginning, and it could not have been successful under some other kind of Chris Licht from a different dimension who wasn't a schmuck and didn't know what he was doing. One can argue that the premise of going to the middle by people who think Bret Baier of Fox was the middle was a cover story for throwing CNN hard right, and I think that's true, but it's not really central to the key point. There is no middle. There's no real middle in cable television news, and there is no pretend middle. Nobody wants to watch that. Ask the folks at News Nation, formerly WGN America, which claims, quote, unbiased U.S. news is its pretext, and which has been on the air for more than 2 years now with a lineup I have previously described as the Nick at Night of cable news. Chris Cuomo, Ashley Banfield, Dan Abrams, Elizabeth Vargas, and occasionally Bill O'Reilly. The audience for a given half hour or hour on News Nation is smaller than the audience for the podcast you are listening to right now. And thank you for your confidence in me, and don't get me wrong, but if a TV news network cannot outdraw me on a podcast, there's something wrong with the premise. You may lament the passing of utter political neutrality in cable news, and given my history, I think you would be surprised at how much I am in sympathy with your viewpoint, but it is the reality. and it has been the reality since the day in 1996 when first MSNBC and then Fox signed on, and it is not going to change. You can have all the town halls you want and all the new graphics, and it's not going to change. There is one neutral news outlet on cable, and unfortunately, it is a monopoly. And it is a monopoly in large part because it's non-profit and it never really could succeed as for-profit. And it's called C-SPAN. And other than one phone-in show, it just runs live coverage of hearings and press conferences. And sometimes I watch just that and I think that's biased. And yet, there continues this quixotic pursuit of the illusion that some numerical formula of balance, some calibrated both-sides-ism, will eventually vanquish networks that have a point of view. It won't happen. You could take over Fox or MSNBC or CNN tomorrow and apply that kind of rigor and calculation to the vetting process to make sure that every statement of opinion is written first, is based on fact, and is beholden to accuracy and checking and rechecking. And you could clean up the propagandizing that has consumed Fox and infected MSNBC and is the founding principle of Newsmax and the like. And I think that would make an unexpectedly enormous improvement in quality in cable news. And maybe an enormous improvement in audience. Or even just stop the hemorrhaging. Quality, that original concept that is so often overlooked in assessments of any form of news or television or both. Quality might goose a given network's ratings a little. But the cult of imaginary objectivity is deeply seated in the management of television news even to this day. They all want to go back to Cronkite and Huntley Brinkley because they were young then. They want to go back to Cronkite and Huntley Brinkley without remembering that Cronkite and Huntley Brinkley and the various ABC anchors of their eras were on the only national television channels in the country, and if you wanted not to watch any of them, your choice was usually either cartoons or reruns of McHale's Navy. For the younger group running TV news, it's a dream of returning to, say, CNN 1991 and the Gulf War, and that's great, and it's not a bad aspiration to keep in your heart. It might help you rigorously check your sources and the information on which you base your opinions. But in 1991, not only was CNN the only cable news network in America, but it had been for 11 years, and it would be for another 5 years, and it had, in fact, destroyed rivals, launched, and then quickly killed off by ABC and CBS. Yet, 7.5 years ago, on the off day of the 2015 World Series here in New York, I went to the Essex House Hotel and had a secret meeting with the then chairman of NBC News, Andy Lack, and the then president of MSNBC, Phil Griffin, and they offered me a new show on MSNBC. I think the idea was 10 p.m., weeknights, for half an hour with a co-host on one important premise, that I would never do another political commentary on MSNBC in my life. You know those, what did you call them, special comments? Those were the worst things that ever happened to MSNBC, Andy Lack said. You know that, right? I mean, what America wants is the cable news version of the New York Times. I mean, I saw you once on there, and you were so loud and angry about Bush that I thought you'd lost your mind. I literally thought you'd lost your mind. And I said to my wife, Betsy, I think he's lost his mind. And I called all my friends. I said, you have to watch MSNBC right now. Turn it on right now. I think Alderman has lost his mind. And everybody tuned in. And then we all tuned in again the next night to see if they'd fired you yet. We watched every night after that just in case. I did not explain to Andy Lack. I stopped myself. I did not explain to him that although I disagreed with his out-of-your-mind terminology, he had not only just described what success in cable news television now looked like, but he had just proven my point that I was right about it and he was wrong. He will never believe otherwise, but the point he made was people watched. That's the first stop on the process. So yes, Chris Licht was a venomous worm who deserved everything that's happened to him in the last year, and the bottle of champagne opened at CNN headquarters yesterday was matched by an imaginary one here at Olbermann HQ. But he could have been a prince And the ultimate point is the idea didn't work, couldn't work, and won't work. And there is a larger issue that actually dwarfs all of this comparative minutiae, of course. Exactly what are the two sides you are presenting in the political news of this country? What are you being objective about in the cultural news, in the scientific news? One side is flawed, bumbling, self-obsessed, aging. The other side, it's trying to end democracy and replace it with any flavor of authoritarianism it can get away with. And oh, by the way, one of the side effects of that authoritarianism will be the elimination of places like CNN by violence, whether it is run by this Chris Licht or some perfected Chris Licht or me. When people have asked me about balance and not taking sides and advocacy networks and opinion, I ask them, how would you have wanted me to cover Joe McCarthy? How would you have wanted me to cover World War II, the Civil War, the American Revolution? Yes, that may be true. On the other hand, General Cornwallis insists. Licht insisted to The Atlantic that when, his words, we are not an advocacy network, we are providing something different, and when the shit hits the fan in this world, you're not going to have time for that advocacy anymore. Well, the shit has hit the fan. Its name is Trump. And to oppose Trump shit, you must be an advocacy network? I guess, whatever. I'm just doing a job here. You can call what you want. But practically speaking, just as newspapers lost their monopoly on breaking news, and radio lost its monopoly on breaking news, and broadcast television lost its monopoly on breaking news, so cable news has lost its. Cable news can be a factor, maybe even a decisive factor, in coverage of live events, but that is no longer enough. And if you are internally rigorous about exactly what your commentators say and how much they have to back up their opinions, you can be both. You can be a pure news organization. You can advocate for, you know, a non-totalitarian America. And you can also make money doing both these things at the same time. Back when I was at MSNBC doing those special comments, the ones that made Andy Lack think I'd lost my mind, but he and his friends started watching every night just to check. That role, that special comments guy role, was kind of balanced by another guy at MSNBC who handled all the MSNBC breaking news. The Pope dying, the bridge collapsing in Minnesota, the elections, the blackouts, the inaugurations, the death of Michael Jackson. He even had a side hustle doing football on Sunday nights. He was the painfully objective face of that painfully objective breaking news side of MSNBC. And all that stuff, the breaking news stuff, that used to make money too. And his name was, checks notes, me. There is no middle. And more importantly, for cable news to be a success financially and journalistically, there does not have to be a middle. Okay, as I said earlier, end of new material. A full edition tomorrow, Thursday. What follows here is the full Wednesday edition, in case you missed it, just so you can listen to me predict that Meadows had flipped and that Licht would get fired. So Keithy had a good day yesterday, didn't he? Flipped. There's no other possible explanation. The news has been coming for weeks. All other conclusions seem to have been sealed off when the Iran war recording of Trump turned up, and it was made for an autobiography ghostwriter, and the autobiography was of Mark Meadows, and thus the tape belonged to Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows, the New York Times wrote last night, has testified before a federal grand jury hearing evidence in the investigations being led by the special counsel's office, according to two people briefed on the matter. Times said it didn't know when Meadows testified, nor whether it was to the Jack Smith election grand jury or the Jack Smith documents grand jury, but happily ABC News came to the rescue. Quote, sources say Meadows answered questions on both Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and Trump's alleged mishandling of classified documents. It was on May 24th that CNN first pointed towards the Trump scandals version of Sherlock Holmes and the dog that did nothing in the night, going all the way back to 2 weeks ago, quote, a source close to Trump's legal team said Trump's lawyers have had no contact with Meadows and his team and are in the dark on what Meadows is doing in the investigation. We've all heard the same rumors, one Trump advisor told CNN. No one really knows what he's doing, though. Well, now we know what he's doing. He's nailing Trump. Bye, Felicia. There was one more nugget in the Times piece, and it helps to explain why Trump turned to stochastic terrorism yesterday, which I will get back to in a moment. Times has a quote from a Meadows attorney. Without commenting on whether or not Mr. Meadows has testified before the grand jury or in any other proceeding, Mr. Meadows has maintained a commitment to tell the truth where he has a legal obligation to do so. Tell the truth? What a disloyal rat fink, huh? Trump's legal problems are beginning to multiply in the same way, you may be too young to remember this, but I'm not, that Richard Nixon's did 39 long years ago. It's that time-worn analogy that I love. The guy is walking down the street carrying 7 boxes when he can really only handle 6 boxes. He drops a box, he bends over to pick it up, but in the process he drops 2 more boxes. Sooner rather than later, all of the boxes will be on the street. That's Trump. Thoughts and prayers. The other problems. The Times just dropped this in passing into a separate story about that bonus Jack Smith grand jury in Florida that nobody had known about. Among those who have appeared before the Washington grand jury in the past few months or have been subpoenaed by it, people familiar with the investigation said, are more than 20 members of Mr. Trump's Secret Service security detail. Nothing else in the whole story about the Secret Service. Not one word. Now, we all know about the testimony from the January 6th committee about Trump trying to take the wheel of the beast away from a Secret Service agent so he could lead the insurrection or witness it or whatever. Quote, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. So maybe it's that and the whole coup thing. Maybe it's about all those deleted Secret Service text messages, or maybe it's classified document stuff, because if you notice the phrasing in the Times, it just says more than 20 members of Mr. Trump's Secret Service security detail. It does not say those who were in the detail when Trump was still in the White House, 2021 and previous. It does not say the current Secret Service detail that protects him now from everybody except himself. And that Florida grand jury is now coming into focus, although it is still profoundly fuzzy. Firstly, it is in Miami. Secondly, it is, unsurprisingly, about the stolen classified documents. Thirdly, it has heard at least one witness last month and was to hear from another one today, Wednesday. Nothing else. Although the possible reasons for a Florida grand jury continue to be constructed. And other than geographical convenience for witnesses, the leading theory seems to be that it would give Jack Smith the flexibility to bring charges against Trump and others in Washington and Florida, or Washington or Florida. The Times has a former classified documents prosecutor named Brandon Van Grack, who says, it's common in situations involving classified information when prosecutors are uncertain of venue to ground an investigation in Washington, Virginia, or Maryland. The point is, just because it starts there doesn't mean it has to end there. You don't know what your potential venue hooks are until you've completed a thorough investigation, unquote. To Mr. Van Grack's point, that revelation of the U.S. military plans for war in Iran, that document being shown to those people who didn't have the classification to read it or know about it, that would have happened in Florida. The crime was in Florida. There is one more news note before we get back to the, you know, second coup attempt yesterday. Bloomberg News reporting that Trump is searching for new lawyers. Of course, all of human history divides neatly into those times when Trump has just hired new lawyers and those times when he is trying to hire new lawyers. quote, Trump representatives in recent weeks have asked for recommendations of Washington-based counsel with trial experience. Which brings us to Trump's other preparations for indictment by Jack Smith. You know, stochastic terrorism. If you heard my updated version of this podcast Tuesday afternoon, you know the gist. But it bears repeating, in large part because we really should not stop being outraged and furious about calls to overthrow the government. It is kind of amazing that this did not even merit a think piece somewhere yesterday. I appreciate that we seem to be on some sort of odd-even system on whether or not the media should give any weight to Trump's terrorism, and it's an even-numbered month, so no, not at the moment. My feeling is the response should be sending a SWAT team to Mar-a-Lago and arresting the bastard now because the language of his eruption Tuesday morning contained one key code word that unleashed January 6th. The word was fight. Quote, it's about election interference, began a Trump social media post at 8:12 Eastern Daylight Time Tuesday morning. It ended, they are using the DOJ and FBI against me to rig, misspelled and capitalized rig, the 2024 election. They'll hit Hunter with something small to make their strike on me look fair. Nothing about these fascists is fair or honest. Fight. And the word fight, capital letters, followed by an exclamation point. 2 minutes later, a second post. Election interference. Don't let it happen. This was his call to his mob. Just as that same word fight was the cue to the mob on January 6th, and just as on January 6th, it is stochastic terrorism. And if Trump dies in prison because he stole documents and defrauded his own rubes over a stolen election he knew was not stolen, I will still be disappointed that they did not convict him for these frontal assaults by proxy on representative government in this country. He is a thug, a scumbag, and a moral worm, a psychopath who sees the people around him solely in terms of what they can do for him. And just remember that in that speech on the Ellipse on January 6th, he used some form of the word fight 16 different times. And 16 different times was nearly enough to knock democracy to the ground in the fight that followed. We fight. Trump said that cataclysmic day. We fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. This country, especially the media in this country, wants all of that to just go away, like the pandemic. Just wants to forget it ever happened. Just wants to jump back into those nice, safe grooves of the three or four different disaster stories media understands in this country, understands how to cover. The four or five different political stories it understands and understands how to cover. They don't want to cover what he actually expected people to do yesterday. They don't want to face the reality that he expected when he hit send on those, that somebody would try to stop Jack Smith from indicting him by violence. They do not want to emphasize his insanity, that the rage in those posts was then followed by at least five posts in which he congratulated himself on predicting the Gulf merger and wrote, isn't that what you want in a president, somebody who can predict the future? This is madness. It remains madness. He is a madman. It does no good to ignore it. And the rest of us who believe that the word terrorist should become synonymous with the name Trump and that the connection should be reinforced daily, we are in a decided minority and we should not be. Stochastic terrorism does not have to be subtle, and it does not have to be deciphered, and it does not have to be a surprise, and Donald Trump committed it on January 6, 2021 in Washington, and he committed it again yesterday on his social media, and we all need to be saying this. I have been saying this since at least February 27th, 2020. Looking for something else, I found this in my computer the other day. It is from a report I had written that day for, of all people, Jeff Shell, the disgraced ex-CEO of NBC who wanted me to rejoin MSNBC. It was written as we were mapping out how to make that happen. This passage followed a paragraph about how I had first met Trump in 1983 and how I had known him personally, but thankfully not well, since 2007 or so. I wrote to Jeff Shell, "I think I know something nobody else in the field of political commentary has yet realized. The turbulence of the last 5 years will only be preamble to what will greet us on the morning of November 4, 2020, regardless of the electoral outcome. Presuming Trump is not somehow precluded from running, there are only three prospective realities. One, he has been reelected. Two, he has lost narrowly, is demanding a recount, is suing, and is being backed by the GOP. Three, he has lost, narrowly or otherwise, but is claiming fraud, deceit, or foreign intervention. He will not concede, and he will try to retain power in the courts or by declaring a national emergency or possibly by utilizing the military." I include that not because I'm the only one who saw that coming. Thousands saw that coming. I include that because it reminds us to dismiss Trump and his animal-like cunning and destructive skill at your peril and our peril. What you think you see in him is as bad as you think it is, or worse. Always, always. On January 6th, yesterday, the Truth Social posts were made in hopes of getting somebody to attack Jack Smith or Merrick Garland or Joe Biden or somebody. The Trump thinking is not complex. This other creature is in my way. Destroy the other creature in my way. There is good news. From his panic, from his stochastic terrorism, there now can be no doubt that Trump has concluded, perhaps even that he has been told, that he is to be indicted imminently by the special counsel. And it just cannot be imminent enough. Also of interest here today, all of American golf. All of world professional golf has just been sold to Saudi Arabia. This is not hyperbole. The same people who spent a year fighting against the attempted takeover of the golf business by the Saudis, of talking about Saudi blood money and 9/11 and Jamal Khashoggi, they just sold the PGA Tour to the Saudis. And don't believe it for a moment when people tell you it's a merger, because it's not a merger. The Saudis bought the PGA Tour, and some of the PGA golfers who help run the PGA Tour are trying to forestall an ethical disaster so bad that you might as well change the name of its founding organization from the Pro Golfers Association to the Pro Terrorism Association. That's of interest, and Chris Licht has done it again at CNN. Another stunt town hall. That's next. This is Countdown.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann. Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snarks, some predictions. Dateline CNN headquarters, Hudson Yards, New York. Man, if only CNN viewers wanted to watch 24/7 coverage of CNN's chief executive officer twisting slowly, slowly in the wind, and CNN would carry it. To paraphrase William Holden in the movie Network, it'd wipe that effing MSNBC right off the air. The story continues. Now it is the New York Post reporting that Chris Licht has, quote, been calling anchors who have never spoken to him before in a bid to shore up support one employee at a time. The paper also claims its sources say CNN might fire Licht over the July 4th holiday, and it named two upper-level CNN executives as candidates to replace him. The Los Angeles Times reports that, quote, the top conversation internally is how much longer Licht can last in the job, according to several insiders who were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly. Something actually happened at CNN yesterday, and this is so Chris Licht it will make you spit out some Ozempic. Next Monday, CNN will air a live presidential town hall moderated by Anderson Silos Cooper. And the town hall is with Chris Christie, who had only announced he was actually inexplicably running for the Republican nomination literally hours before. So if you want a free hour of TV time on CNN, just announce you are running for president and call Chris Licht. The number is Plaza 7-8866. But the real news story at CNN is a man named Oliver Darcy. I've spoken of him before. He is the media reporter who was the first and for a week the lone CNN voice to even mildly criticize Licht's Waterloo, the Trump town hall. He survived. He went on vacation as planned. He came back from vacation, and he came back in time to issue his late night media newsletter right after the Atlantic piece about Licht ran. The title of the first of these newsletters was Red Licht Flashing, which reads better than it sounds. The third paragraph reads, quote, the embarrassing piece, which reverberated all weekend throughout the media industry, called into serious question Licht's judgment, his ability to lead the network staff, and his overall professional capabilities as CNN's top executive. Not much further in, CNN's media reporter Oliver Darcy wrote this about reaction inside his own network. Quote, there is one near universal sentiment that has been communicated to me. Licht has lost the room. I spent the summer of 1998 talking like this about my bosses at MSNBC and NBC News, but on the other hand, I was trying to get one of them to fire me so I could go back into sports for five times my NBC salary. This is courage, though one would think it will still ultimately be Licht or Darcy at CNN within a month or two, but not both. Either way, they can hold an Oliver Darcy parade. If Licht gets fired, Darcy can sit atop the front car in the parade and wave to grateful CNN staffers. If not, he can ride in the back in that big, long Cadillac that doesn't have any, you know, windows.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
In sports, for a field of endeavor in which the hoariest of all the hoary cliches is, on any given Sunday, any team can beat any other team, few things in sports are actually surprises, let alone shocks. But there was universal shock yesterday when the PGA Golf Tour announced it had merged with LIV Golf. After a year in which the PGA rightly decried players who joined LIV as taking blood money from Saudi Arabia, well, it turns out it's only blood money if they're getting it, not if PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan is getting it. The move was announced before almost anybody it affects knew about it. That includes sponsors, networks that televise golf, and most importantly, PGA players. The problems, of course, are it is blood money. And worse, the PGA and LIV did not merge. The Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, led by that prince with the international collection of murderers at his disposal, bought the PGA Tour. The Saudis have bought the PGA Tour. The Saudi fund will have the right of first refusal on all future investments in the combined new operation, and that ultimately gives it the right to squeeze out all non-Saudi influence. Golf is now Saudi Arabian. PGA Commissioner Monahan tried to explain this to players at the tour stop in Toronto yesterday, nearly all of whom reacted violently. There is still a chance the players on the PGA's board could muster enough support to quash the thing. In the interim, golf fans are left with a moral dilemma, and golf fans tend not to do well with moral dilemmas. They did not fight back against golf's literal quota system for memberships at clubs like Augusta National, where they hold the deplorable Masters tournament. Well, now no American sports fan can in good conscience participate or pay for or watch any PGA event, no matter how hallowed it might be within the sports world. Within moments of the announcement of the Saudi takeover of American golf, 9/11 Families United wrote to the Department of Justice asking it to step up its investigation of the Saudis related to the terrorism on 9/11, and it issued a statement condemning the merger in the strongest terms. And then a podcaster named James Heskey summed it up with one joke, grim, telling, and all too true. Quote, as part of the merger, the PGA will control holes 1 to 8 and 12, 18. The Saudis do 9/11. In the no-surprise sports news, the Texas Rangers announced Jacob DeGrom, the pitcher, will undergo Tommy John surgery to repair a tear in his collateral ligament in his pitching elbow. He will miss all of this year and almost certainly all of next year. Last year, there was a delicate balancing act going on here in New York, where the Mets live, whether to give their homegrown ace DeGrom, the hero of their fan base, the huge long-term contract he wanted, even though he had missed much of the previous two seasons, with injuries but without surgeries. This is the leading marker for the likelihood of a pitcher succumbing to a future serious injury. The Mets chose not to give DeGrom the money, in part because he's already had one Tommy John operation. But the Texas Rangers did give DeGrom the money, all of the money, and they broke out to a 39-20 record this season, second best in all of baseball, and now they are committed to paying Jacob DeGrom $185 million through the year 2027. And for the first $70 million, they will likely have gotten 30 innings pitched. But they were great innings. And also, what did we see here? Great agenting. Disco Nancy Faust. Maybe DeGrom can pass the time off by buying the seemingly homeless Oakland A's. Ownership had starved the team in Oakland and seemingly made a commitment to take Nevada taxpayers' money to go build themselves a stadium there, but a funny thing has happened in Las Vegas. The bill aimed at giving the A's $380 million for their $1.5 billion ballpark in Sin City stalled in the Nevada legislature. It was not voted on before the deadline, so the A's, in the lingo of the town, have crapped out. Coming up, speaking of all-time great baseball pitchers like Jacob DeGrom, in 2 years from now, I once covered one and covered for him. The guy who came this close to having a fist fight with a fan during the World Series. And my network caught it on tape, and I owned the tape. And I covered for him not because he deserved my help, but because the videotape did not show that he did not start the fight. Things I promise not to tell, literally, coming up. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, Harris Faulkner of Fox News, one of the most inexplicably self-righteous, shallow people in American media. She is a propagandist of Fox, quote, news, unquote. And she is as, just to pick an apt current analogy, as dim as a sunset during Canadian wildfire haze. Army Brat. Her Twitter handle and her Twitter name are both in all caps. And she is ceaselessly holier than thou. And Fox now has given her a shot in Tucker Carlson's old primetime because the only two people left were her and me. By the way, remember Tucker Carlson? Anyway, Faulkner did not disappoint. She disappointed. She was complaining about this war on religion, which is really funny because the world gives religion more tolerance than anything else. I mean, it's not facts, it's beliefs, which are fine, but it can't and hasn't been proven. And almost all of the religions are based on books written by anonymous authors or rewritten by other anonymous authors. And yet we tolerate constant references to religion in our lives, from songs to interruptions for prayers to tax exemptions for churches. Anyway, that's not how she sees it. Harris Faulkner says you should say grace or whatever for meals at restaurants in public, and that once when she tried, they threw her out. Quote, "I've been asked to leave a restaurant for openly bowing my head in prayer hands in America." Sadly, she would not give a more specific address or a day when it happened or a witness, or would she answer any questions about it that followed from members of the media? Or didn't your religious figures over there say something about bearing false witness? The runner-up, why, it's Harris Faulkner of Fox News again. While she wasn't done chastising the wicked ways of 21st century America land, this is about the whole gender thing. Quote, "The Lord has determined I am a woman. My pronouns are USA. Once again, the jury is in. The Lord has also determined that conservatives will never understand what the hell pronouns actually are. Harris, you should ask the Lord for an education." But our winner? Wow, it's Harris Faulkner of Fox News. The trifecta. While she was instructing us when to pray and how to eat and what her pronouns are, I think she said D-U-M-B, all that time, the big banner graphic placed right across her holy, blessed condescension read, quote, "American can and will be put back together again." American. Not America can and will be put back together again. American can and will be put back together. American. Harris, what kind of American doesn't check the graphics and lets her network misspell America? Why didn't you walk out of that place too, Faulkner? Today's worst person in the world. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.